You're listening to Pyro Media Network, setting radios ablaze since 2017. Welcome back to Coffee with Kim, the podcast. This podcast was designed just with you in mind, ladies. So grab your coffee or your tea or whatever you have in your cup and enjoy the conversation.
Hey, 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 and welcome back to my show, It's Just Kim. Yes, it's just Kim. Usually it's not just Kim, but that's the name of the show. How about that? Well, welcome back. I'm glad you're here. Thank you for taking the time out to share this space with me and my guest tonight. This show is all about everything dealing with us girls, women, relationships, all the fun stuff, right? And so that's what we talk about. That's what we deal with. That's what we get into, okay? So tonight we're going to get into some relationship stuff tonight, right? And you know, we're all about being hot, honest, open, and transparent, right? We're all about being transparent because guess what? We cannot help anybody if we don't tell the truth. That's right. We got to tell the truth. And so my husband and I have been married for over 38 years, and it has not been a complete cakewalk, right? Even though I'm perfect, I can't even complete that sentence. But what I'm saying is neither one of us are perfect. We are two imperfect people coming together, making a relationship, making a life. And you know what? Things happen in this life. And so not that we are here to, you know, talk about all the dirty details, but we are here to talk about some things that may be helpful to somebody else. So we're going to bring him on because tonight we're going to talk about why did we get married? Hey, boo.
Hey, how are you?
Now sit up so you can represent the Zion shirt.
Her daughter, the youngest daughter, that's her whole line.
My right.
Why we didn't put a plug in.
Right. Our baby daughter has her own line. It's called Zion. What is that? Z-H-Y-U-N. Zion. Yeah. She has these beautiful black sweaters, and she has t-shirts and hats and all of that. So maybe if she joins the chat, she can put her information in there so that you can shop at the Zion store as well. Okay. But we just wanted to represent the baby tonight. But I want to thank you, babe, for being here tonight. I know you had some real busy stuff going on tonight, but you took some time out to be with me, and I want you to know that I really do appreciate that, okay? I really do appreciate that.
I appreciate you, boo. It's all good.
Yeah. Usually when you're on the show with me, we're together. But tonight, like I said, you had some things to do, and, you know, I appreciate you stopping, dropping, and joining.
Right.
It's all okay. Good.
I told him I'll be a little late.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I hear like a little echo. Producer, do you hear an echo? Or is it just me? feel like I hear a little echo.
Me echoing or you?
I feel like it's me.
Okay.
Oh.
I don't hear it on my end.
Yeah, I hear it on my end. But anyway.
Yeah, you're not even echoing on this end.
So. Okay, perfect. Great. So let's get into it. So tonight's show is called Why Did We Get Married? And that question I'm really am posing to you and I. So let me just back up a bit. About a month ago, I did a podcast, the Coffee with Kim podcast. That's on Spotify and Apple Music. And the name of this particular podcast was Why I Shouldn't Get Married. Okay. And so it talked about like several reasons why people just should not, you know, one being if you're not ready to be exclusive, another being if, you know, if you're selfish, you know, just different reasons why a person should not get married. And so I was thinking, you know what? I know that some people say, well, why should I get married? Or why did you get married? You know, because one of the things that I said, on the podcast was I am married, been married over 38 years. I'm happy. It hasn't always been, you know, joyful at all times. We've had our ups and our downs, our ins and our outs. You know, we've had times where we like, yeah, okay, you go your way, I'll go mine. But we decided to stick with it and to do the work. Okay. And so that's something that we did. We dropped, you know, all the crap, and we just started doing the work, and that's how we survived. But I want to ask you, why did you marry me?
Wow, you know, I want y'all to know we didn't practice this. We did not practice this.
I didn't tell you any of the questions.
We going for it, you know, from the gut. So honestly, we were dating. We met at my father's church. I believe you were 13 or 14 when you came.
I was 13 when I came to your dad's church.
Yeah, and I was, I guess, 15 going on 16. And a little crush thing was happening, you know, between the both of us. And but she couldn't stand me at first. Couldn't stand my guts to see my sight. Like, but she'll tell you more about that, why that was a problem at first. But once she got to know me, I mean, you know, it became an attraction. I think our church is going to Magic Mountain on a youth trip or something. And some other young man with a taste was like, no, I want to go with him. She pointed at me. I'm like, me? Of all people? Okay. And then we really still didn't date. And then my parents went out of town for Christmas. And me and my good friend, Glenn Ford, who's still my sound man right now, they at the church, Big Glenn, her mother invited us over for dinner because his parents went to Louisiana and mine's went to Texas. So, you know, come over for Christmas dinner. Like, sure. So I show up and her mom yells upstairs, hey, you know, William and Glenn is here, and she'll tell you the rest of that reaction. William and Glenn, what? You know, they were there. Anyway, I ended up taking her to the prom after that. We went to a prom, and we dated. She was going to Cal State Long Beach, and I was quite a distraction to her going to Cal State Long Beach. Trying not to be, but then I was.
Quite the distraction.
Yeah, I was quite the distraction, and we end up in some compromising positions that we shouldn't have been in as, you know, church going believers, Christians, and my wife became with child, and I've been raised, you know, you take care of your responsibilities. Plus I loved her. It wasn't like, oh no, not her, oh my goodness, what have I done? It's like, okay, well,
I love her.
and we were going to marry anyway, you know, eventually. So it's like, okay, let me set the date or day. I was like, no, you have to do this because, you know, she's pregnant. You have to know. I want to do it. I really do. And I've always loved Kimberly. I just didn't know how to love her. Mm-hmm. When we got married, we were bride and groom, but we were not husband and wife. That came with ups and downs. It came with up and downs and ins and outs and all kind of things. You know, stupid things I've done on my part, you know, infidelity situation on my part, you know, and I'll admit that I'm a pastor and all that stuff, but I messed up. I screwed up big. And my wife, thank God we made it through that, but we got married because of conditions and situations, but it wasn't like I did not want to be married to her. So let me get that clear. I went sound like I was drug in, shotgun. Well, no shotgun where nobody made me. In fact, your dad was saying you don't have to, but right. I wanted to. And we started out very young. I was, what, 23? You were 21 or something like that? We got married.
I was 20 and you were 22.
22. But I started my own trucking business. We bought our first house, what, a year after we, not even a year after we was married. Because you don't want to live with my parents. And I was like, babe, just 6 months. If we're not in escrow by 6 months, you know, I'll take an apartment. I want to own something. I always had that drive, like I want to own something. So I started my own trucking business from under my dad. I started my own trucking business. Our first house in Compton together as a young couple, $75,000, our first house from the auction.
Oh, God.
And the rest is history and herstory. But we've been through ups and downs, you guys. I'm telling you, for 38 years, now we're in the groove. Frankie Beverly calls the golden time of day. We're in a golden time of day. We're just chilling, you know. And I'm glad we didn't break up over stupid stuff that could have broke us up, you know, and some dumb things I've done. Like I said, I didn't know how to love her. I really didn't. I didn't know how to love my wife properly. I didn't know how to. I was looking at it as a competition at first, you know, like, don't do this, don't do that. I mean, we're going back and forth. And then I came from a very male dominating, male roles, gender roles, that kind of stuff. Man does this, woman does that. Man does this. I ain't changed no diapers, all that kind of stupid stuff. But eventually I started changing diapers. And I remember one time my daughter, she was sick and she threw up, excuse me, she vomited, and I caught it in my hand. I was like, oh, I'm a real father now. Caught it in my hand, you know. So I begin to loosen up and do things differently. And even recently, we had a discussion last week, you know, about something dealing with us. And I had to apologize to my wife. I realized for some years, I had been selfish in an area of our life. I was very selfish in an area, and I had to really repent and apologize to her. When God showed it to me, I had to apologize to her and repent, and it's made our life even better. Yeah. You know, when you can admit those things and say, you know, what you did and what you've been doing is wrong. So anyway, that's my first start.
I want that's why you married me.
Exactly. Yeah, she's my boo thing. She is my boo thing, for real.
All those reasons. Yeah, so if I were to ask myself, why did I marry you? I know that I loved you. We were in love with one another, but we had made these plans for our life, right? We had made these plans for our life that I was going to finish college. I was going to get this great job and we were going to get married. We were going to wait. We were going to travel, do things. And then we were going to have children. 2.11 kids, right? And I'm going to turn this off. And so those are the things that we said we were going to do. But I always knew that I loved you, that I had a great affinity towards you. You were very kind to me, very generous toward me. You treated me very well. You know, we had our ins and outs and ups and downs, of course. But I knew that I loved you. But I think when we look back on it, I know that when I look back on it, even though we married each other, I feel like we were the ones we were supposed to get married to. I still feel like we just did it. If you look at it from that standpoint, we were married too early. And that's probably why we made so many mistakes, why we did so many things that we probably shouldn't have done, because we really weren't mature enough to be in a committed relationship, to be in a relationship for adults. You know, we were still young people. We were still very young, even though we were 20. And I don't think I really understood how young we were when we first got married until our own children became our age. And when I was starting to look at our kids, when Christian turned 20 and when Brea turned 20 and William and 22, and I'm thinking, oh my God, I was married with kids,
yeah, whole house. Whole
running house. A whole household at that age. You know, and I know that our generation was different. So, you know, I do understand that we come from a different generation. Okay. And so I get that. But, you know, would I ever encourage someone at the age of 20, 22 to get married? I don't think I would. Whether they were pregnant, had two kids already together, I would like to see people get become more mature, become more confident in who you are before you join yourself to another person. When we were, when we got married at 20 and 22, we were still trying to figure out who we were. I know I was. I was still trying to figure out who I was. I was still changing my hairstyle every other week, trying to figure out how I was going to dress, who I was going to be, what I wanted to be. All those things were still going through my mind, you know, while I was 20 years old, having a child, trying to run a household and do certain things. And so am I happy we married? Absolutely. Absolutely. I know that you are the love of my life. And am I happy that we stayed married? I am. So that goes to my next question. My next question is, how do we stay married? How do you think we stay married?
Wow. Let me take one step back just real quickly. I know you said that you would not recommend it. For me, it ended up being a lifesaver for me. I believe I wouldn't have married you. I mean, I never made it to the altar.
Wow.
I was raggedy. I was raggedy, you know. And I always say to people, I was a great father, but I was a horrible husband. The first 15, 20 years of our marriage, to me, in my opinion, I was a horrible husband. I did, you know, I was a giver. I've always been a giver. I give my wife cars, jewelry, whatever. I was a giver, but I just was not good at nurturing the relationship. I just was not good at cultivating and nurturing the relationship. Like the things you were going to have by osmosis, they weren't going to have by osmosis. You know, you have to really work at it. Marriage is work. Let me say that first of all. If you're not ready to put in the work, I think an immature person is not ready for the work part. That's just me when I'm thinking of immature person, the work part. But the commitment part, I needed. I needed something to ground me. I needed something to tell me how to get on that truck every day and make that trucking company work. I needed something to push me and motivate me to keep me going and keep me getting up every morning, because other than that, I would have been going so many different directions. You know, I still had parties and street in me and stopping by buddy's house, you know, after getting my work and stuff, you know. So I look at it as a blessing for me. I think it really saved my life. I really do. I do. I think it saved my life marrying you, because I was really into the whole LA party scene and all. You know that. I mean, I would leave your house because your dad made me leave at a certain time and go to the skate rink afterwards.
I had a curfew.
Yeah, and you were in Cerritos. I ended up on the other side of Venice and Washington at the roller skate rink. You know, where'd you go? Oh, I just went out with my boys. You know, we got UCLA hanging out by UCLA and Westwood. Oh, we went to West Covina after leaving your house. So I'm getting home at 4 o'clock in the morning. And at that pace, you know, I would have wore myself out. I see where my friends, some of my people I hung out with, didn't make it back, didn't pull back, didn't get the chance I got. Some just now getting married, you know. Some have done, you know, other things that happened in life or the prison, whatever different things, but they're just now getting to where we are. So I'm really kind of grateful and thankful that it happened the way it happened, because it really grounded me. And you've always been a solid grounding type person. You always spoke wisdom to me, even if it hurt my feelings. You've done that several times. It really hurt my feelings, but you would always speak sound wisdom to me. And sometimes now you're more seasoned with it. You know how to wait for the right opportunity. Mm-hmm. You're like, Lord, give me the opportunity before you just like boom. Because you know, you come from a family that just says it. My family holds weights and more gingerly with it. Your family like blah blah blah. Blah blah blah. If it come up, it come out, you know. So we've kind of gotten away from that now. You really wait for the season moments to say those things, but you've helped me. I don't think you even know the ways you've helped me as a man. God, I'm getting kind of emotional, getting kind of teary. But as a man, you saw something in me I don't think I saw in myself. You saw what I could become. I know a lot of people say, like, don't try to change no man. You weren't trying to change me. You were just trying to cultivate what you saw inside of me.
Yeah.
Become a better version of me. And I think because we did stay together, I became a better version of me. If we would have divorced, somebody else would have got this better version of me.
Yes.
You got the experience, what you helped cultivate is what I'm saying. And bottom line. And why did we stay together? Because we did the work.
Yes.
After the whole infidelity thing, we got counseling. So I can't stay with you. We don't get counseling. We got counseling. You went to some women's conferences, ended up getting ministered to by a lady that went through some very similar things that we went through. We went to a pastor that lost his family, his church, and everything. Little old white guy, you know, in the back of some factories, met him in the dark. It was pitch dark, you know, met him in his office back there. And he, boy, he tore my wife up the first 3 weeks. I was like, yes, get her, get her. She didn't want to go back. We went to 4 weeks. Boy,
he tore
into me. I cried like a baby. I was in fetal position crying. It was things in my life and my genealogy and my bloodline that I was repeating. I didn't realize it was inside of me. Some of my gene pool was responding to where, you know, the infidelity thing and things like that. And I hate to say this, but my grandfather having kids all over East Texas, that seed was still in me, you know. And I had, you know, as much as I'm a preacher and a pastor, I need that therapeutic man to talk to me about some things in me that I was skipping over, even in the Bible. I was, you know, making allowances for things. And this man really got in my stuff. I mean, there were some things about my home. Yes. I didn't recognize I had mom and dad at home, so I thought it was perfect. But I found out my home wasn't perfect. You know, right. We all are not perfect. We have some imperfections.
I think we both found out that there were a lot of things that we thought were perfect, things that we thought were the way things always should be, how things should be. I think we discovered that things can be different, you know, and they don't have to be a certain way. You know, I think one of the things that helped us stay married is when we decided that we were going to be Kim and William. We weren't trying to be Cliff and Helen, Susie and James.
Susie and James, your parents, right.
You know, we weren't trying to be those people. And the funny thing was, I really wasn't trying to be your mom. She was an amazing woman. But, you know, it's just something about a woman that she wants to be her own woman, right? And so, you know, I remember you loved your mom and she was an amazing mom. And so I remember there were times where you would say, oh yeah, you know, my mom, she does this, 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 and that. And it's probably a good idea if we do this. And my mom, she keeps this over here and she does that over there. And I was a very young woman, right? Very
20. She took this on Thursday.
20.
Fish on Friday, spaghetti on this day. Yeah, all that.
All of that. And I would do the opposite. I would do the opposite of what you told me your mama did, right? Oh, you said your mama cooks fish on Friday? Well, we're going to have it on Wednesday. How about that? You know, just silly things like that. You know, but I think when we really figured out who we were as a couple and what we wanted from our relationship and what we wanted for our family, I think that's when we started to become the couple that we are still becoming today.
Still becoming. I'm glad you said that. Still becoming.
We are still becoming, you know,
never 38 years later. Yeah.
38 years later, we are still becoming Kim and William, a different version of ourselves. Every day we're growing in that. So we're going to go to a commercial. And when we come back, we're going to talk about this question. I want you to be thinking about it before we get back. Is love enough? Is love enough?
Are you ready for enlightening conversations that transcend boundaries? Get ready for Conversations with Clergy, brought to you by the HIV Vaccine Trials Network. In partnership with the world's largest publicly funded international collaboration, the HVTN is dedicated to evaluating vaccines to prevent HIV and COVID-19, but their impact doesn't stop there. The HVTN is at the forefront of advancing vaccinology, social and behavioral sciences, statistics, immunology, and even contributing to the research on tuberculosis and COVID-19 vaccines. By supporting Conversations with Clergy, the HVTN not only brings you thought-provoking discussions, but also contributes to the global effort to combat infectious diseases. Tune in, stay informed, and be a part of the change. Conversations with Clergy, supported by the HVTN. Empowering conversations, empowering lives. Join us in this journey of knowledge, understanding, and progress. Conversations with Clergy, proudly brought to you by the HIV Vaccine Trials Network, because together we can make a difference.
Because self-care should be luxurious. Luxe & Noir.
Okay, so we are back and we are talking. We're here on the show, It's Just Kim. And I'm here with my husband, Bishop William Todd Irvin, and we are talking about why did we get married? Why did we get married? And so we talked about that before the commercial break. And now that we're back, I asked him a question before we left, and I wanted him to think about it. That question is love enough?
No.
Is love enough?
No. when we got married, of course we went to our parents, and counseling back then sounded like this: do you love him? Yes. Do you love her? Good. Okay, well, let's set the plans, let's get married, we're gonna get y'all married,
right?
And do this, that. But I found out, Tina said it best, what's love got to do with it? You can love a person and not trust them.
Right.
You can love a person and not like them. L-I-K-E. And like is a big difference, because love endures, like the Bible says, but like enjoys.
Enjoys.
You can still be in love with a person, but not enjoy them. We say, well, I love them, but I'm not in love. But you're not liking them right now. The likability is not there. I'm not liking what you just did. I don't like the way you just talked to me. I don't like your actions. I don't like the fact you just cheated on me. I don't like the fact you just did this, you know, in front of people. I don't like you embarrassed me in public. I still love you, but I don't like what you just did. And it's okay to express that, and don't confuse that with love. Because to me, the love does, even you divorce a person and you got another mate, you still got love for that person that you left. That love doesn't die.
Yeah.
That's why it's hard to divorce and get with somebody else. Like I said, if we had divorced back when, in my stupidity, when I was doing dumb stuff, somebody else would have got the better version of me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once the work was done, you know, and y'all said, do the work, beloved, do the work. Once we did the work, you break up now, man, you're gonna miss the prize. We got friends right now that said, man, God, we wish we would have hung in there. We did 30 some years. God, we wish we would have hung in there. Because you build things, you build family, you build real estate, finance together. And just to give that away or let somebody else take it, Come on now. You got to put the work in, but the work is not easy. That man told us when we went to counseling, he said, it may take you 10 years to get back to your bottom line. Not to do better, but get back to where you used to be. 10 years? Are you kidding me?
I was like, yeah, no, I think I'm a checkout.
But that was 21 years ago. So time gone past. Like your father told you with college. I said, you know, I'm going to make sure she finishes college. I know she got to get married. We're going to get married now. He said, well, like I told her, you know, 4 years going to pass whether you do something with them or not, or six or whatever it is. It took her longer to get the degree, but we still got it done. What I'm saying, the time is going to pass. So don't think like, oh, my God, 10 years or 4 years, 5 years. If you're really dedicated, if you really want this to work, because if you get with somebody else, you got to start over from zero again.
Right.
You're in a car ride with somebody. I say this all the time. Y'all, please hear me when I say this. You're in a car ride with somebody. Excuse the expression. You don't even want to pass gas because you don't want to embarrass the person you're with. You're trying to impress them. Ooh, you're holding in. Ooh, I don't want. Mm-mm. Come on now. Once you get married, roll the sheets. Well, I got you. You know, you're playing games with it then. But when you
date, I think you're done.
Yeah. You date, you know, it's like, ooh. You know, you sitting down in the car, you try to hold it because, you know, you don't want him to get in.
We're going to put you on mute right now.
But I'm just saying, you know, it's like, I'm just trying to keep it real because, you know, we go through things, but it's growing pains. Growth is painful.
Well, let me say this too.
Let me say it real quick. If you're gonna grow, you won't be comfortable. If you're going to be comfortable, you will not grow. So remember that. There is no comfort in the growth zone. There is no growth in the comfort zone. Go ahead.
This is what happens when you're married to a pastor, a preacher. But listen, the one thing you have to keep in mind, too, is that when things happen in marriages, it's not always just one person's fault.
Woo.
We all play a part in the stuff that goes on.
Woo.
Now, we may not violate things the same way. We may not do the same things, but we do something. We do something that causes hurt, pain, mistrust, you know, lack of confidence, you know, lack of loyalty. We do a lot of things. We may not do the same thing, but in a marriage, it takes two. You know, there's never a time in a relationship that if things go awry, that it's just one person's fault. No. And I remember when we were like dealing with our stuff, and I remember a counselor saying to me, you know, have you looked at the part that you played in this? And I remember being so angry because I'm like, well, I didn't play any parts in this. You know, and so he had to point out to me the part that I did play in. And when I was ready to become real with that and become real with the fact that, no, sis, you played a part in this too, then we were able to get on the road to healing. But until then, we could not. So some other things too that, because you said love is not enough. What's love got to do with it? I agree. Love is not enough. Because we can love today and not love tomorrow. You know, people fall in and out of love a lot. But I think also knowing that your partner respects you, knowing that your partner trusts you, or knowing that you are trustworthy. You know, I tell sometimes when we would meet like different guys that our daughters would date. And, they, of course, put on their, you know, the best face and best behavior and all that kind of stuff. And my one thing, my one liner to them was always, you know, I'm good. I trust you until you become untrustworthy. And when you become untrustworthy, then we got a problem, partner, you know. And so it's the same. We have to look at ourselves. And untrustworthy is not just about cheating. It could be something dealing with finances. You know, it could be, do you respect me in front of other people? Do you talk about me? Do you complain about me to other people? Can I trust you that you keep a confidence? If I tell you something that you don't go run to tell your girlfriends or your fellas, you know, your partners or whatever, you know, it's about loyalty. And it's also about having empathy for your partner. all those things are really important with amongst other stuff, but those things are important. So yes, love and attraction and sex and all of that is extremely important in relationships and marriages, but those other things too, those are key. Because I think I said in the podcast, if you go on Coffee with Kim on Spotify and look at that podcast, one of the things I said was that you, as a couple, you can be extremely blissfully happy horizontally, but you could be a messed up, jacked up relationship, you know, vertically. So while you standing up, you out the bed, you know, you can't get along, you can't agree, you can't do this or that, you know, but we agree on everything else while we laying down in the bed. That's not a good relationship. That might be good sex, but that's not a good relationship. Wow. We need to be able to talk about finances. Wow. You know, we need to be able to talk about how we're raising our kids. We need to be able to talk about how does your family treat me? And do you take up for me and protect me? You know, when it comes to your family, when it comes to your friends, when it comes to, you know, other people, you know, do you put other people before me? You know, one of the things we struggled with was, you know, your friends were very important to you. So it was a situation for us where you had friends that were very important to you. And I had friends, but I wasn't communicating with my friends because I was on a different path. You know, a lot of my friends, they weren't married. They didn't have kids at that age, you know? And so I'm lonely. You know, I have a husband, but my husband, you know, he's hanging out with the partners, you know, and then he has people that he can go and talk to. I don't really have anybody. So then I become jealous. I become envious of the fact that, you know, you had a community and I won't say that I didn't have a community, but I didn't open myself up to the community that I had. So I had to learn how to reach out beyond, you know, my comfort zone. And so I think those things are very important. You know, respect, trust, and love, partnership. Yeah. Partnership. We are a partnership.
Yeah. Let me say this too, though. In those communities, we have to be careful that we don't give the community more loyalty than we do our partner.
Exactly.
If I say things in that community, one thing I learned, especially when it comes down to infidelity, how infidelity really works well on the other person's end, is that you spill your guts about what's wrong with your relationship, and they make sure they don't mess up on that.
Right.
That, you know, the wife did, you know, she did, they're going to make sure, even they want to, they're not going to do that. And yeah. Richard Jay's called the 80-20 rule. You deal with, your wife is the 80%, the other person is the 20. So it ain't hard to impress you 20% of the time, but 80% is where you really live and what
that's
you deal
true.
With.
That's
so
right.
You tell somebody, you know, I don't like the way she does it. I don't like she said this to me and she blah, 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 and she brought this up the other day. I don't like the way she, well, that person going to make sure they don't do that. They're going to make sure they only with you 20% of the time. They're going to hold back.
Right.
I've seen so many people, if you will, marry the mistress in my lifetime and it don't work out. The person changed their stripes just to get you in, just to pull you in. You know, you hear the things like, oh, you're a good man. You deserve better. Yeah, whatever. Don't believe it. You deserve better. Oh, my God. You're the best. You're this. You're that. Oh, my God. Shouldn't be doing you like that. You da da da. You know, kind of like Samson. Stroking, you know, hey, what's your secret?
Delilah had him, right.
He took a nap in the wrong lap, you know what I mean? I call it.
Nap in the wrong lap, yep.
And it's zapping, you know, and she knew how to get that riddle or that secret out of him, you know. And then, man, especially you got a title. If you wear a uniform, military, police, fire, a pastor, you know, if you got some kind of position, a mayor, a politician, whatever, you know.
Yes, all of that, all the above.
I mean, you know, that's attractive. When I have a trucking business, smelling like diesel fuel, man, it do making money.
You smell you like know. Money, right?
Man, I'm telling you, that's an attractive smell. He done sweat all day. He done put his work in. He not sitting on the couch getting his hair braided, eating Cocoa Puffs with corduroy shoes on and a white beater on and smoking a joint. He ain't just sitting around all day at the park kicking.
Right.
He's working. That's attractive too. And that person wants that. They want their man to be like you. Mm-hmm. I've even heard them say, I'll take a piece of a good man than a whole lot of a nothing man. and they feel that way, but you cannot give into that. You can't let it blow your head up and think, oh yeah, no, you're not the man. You're not the man. You're gonna get played. You're gonna get played. It's happened too many times before. It's world history, time and time again.
Same thing. It happens the same way.
I keep telling people, and I'm gonna say this, I'm trying to be lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's the three things the Bible says. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It may come packaged differently, but it's going to be lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, or your pride of life. One, those three ways the enemy going to try to get you every time.
It's going to get you every single time.
Whether it's the drugs, skirt, whatever it is, it's going to come in one form. Food, joint, smoke, blunt, alcohol, whatever. Come on.
Whatever it is. You know, the other thing I think people don't really pay attention to is, you know, how do we communicate? You know, that is, communication is a part of every single part of marriage, relationships, whatever. Even your relationship with your children, your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors, you know, your church family. Communication plays a part in every relationship. And it's unfortunate that, unfortunately, we learn a lot of our bad communication habits from our families. Either we over-communicate, you know, we just say whatever, we have no respect, you know, we have no compassion for the words that are coming out of our mouth, or we hold back and we don't say anything. We just shut down. You know, I think, the hardest part about communication, or the communicator, that person that just shuts down, because once you shut down on a person, then that person is left to determine in their own head what you're thinking, what you're feeling, what your next move is, you know. So communication is everything. It plays a part in every single aspect of the relationship, of the marriage, of the, like I said, the raising of the kids, everything. And one of the things that is extremely important in showing or being a good communicator is showing respect to your partner. Respect is not a one-way street. It goes both ways. It's not just about me, you know, respect your husband. And yeah, and he can respect me back too, you know. Now his respect back to me may show up as love, you know. It may translate to me as love, but it's respect nonetheless, you know. Yeah. And then, you know, and I said this earlier, complaining to other people about your wife, about your man, you know, it's like, no, don't do. He's so stupid. He get on my nerves. Oh my God. You know, he just this, he just that. What, my mother said this to me when I was 16 years old. And I'll tell you why she said it to me when I was 16 years old. First of all, what she said was, don't talk about your spouse or your partner to anyone else. Because when you take them back, because more than likely you're going to take them back, you're going to look stupid. And the other people are still going to be mad, even though you're not mad anymore. So you wonder why your sister rolling her eyes at your man. You know, you wondering why your dad can't speak peaceably to your husband. You know, you wondering why, you know, your mother won't speak to him. It's because you have put all this, your dirt out there, all the bad talk. You've told all the dirty secrets. You shared all the stuff, the garbage, you know, that's been going on between the two of you and your family and your friends. Sometimes they don't know how to not pick a side. They don't know how to not pick a side.
They can't navigate that.
Your family and your friends are always going to choose you unless they are just really, I mean, they just got their heads on straight and they're like, no, I got some friends that be like, no, you wrong. Sorry, sis. Love you, but nah. I ain't letting you get down. My friend Cheryl, she ain't gonna let me do you wrong. That's one thing that she is not gonna let happen. She is not gonna let me do you wrong. She's not gonna let me say nothing bad about you or anything like that. You know, so I have some good friends like that. But, you know, I have to know that I have good friends like that. Sometimes we don't know that we, the people that we're telling all our business to, and then the other, this is another piece to it. You be telling all your secrets and things, and the next thing you know, your friend will be knocking at your door when you're not at home. Keep your mouth closed. Don't share all your business. Somebody said, yep. So the other part to communication is owning your own stuff. That's where I think people also mess up, is we do not own our own stuff. We do not keep it real. You know, we're not accountable. You know, we're not accountable for our words, for our deeds. We're not accountable for, you know, the things that we do in the relationship that cause problems. You know, and sometimes we'd be like, well, I'm just going to do me. How does that work? One of the things that I said in the podcast, why I should not get married, is if you're going to be in a committed relationship, there's no room for selfishness. None. No room for selfishness in a committed relationship, because you, the one thing that you should always be doing is trying to outdo each other in doing for each other and blessing each other, out nice each other. You know, and some couples, we, like you said earlier, we get in competition. You know, your partner should not be the person that you're in competition with. You guys should be in competition together against the things that are coming against your relationship.
Can I say this too? Learn how to compliment each other.
Yeah.
That's one thing we were both failing on early in our marriage, you know, especially early in my ministry. Like, baby, how'd it go? You know how it went. Everybody will tell you, but it's not like you telling me. Just like now, I'm her biggest cheerleader. She just got another job with a great pay scale and all that. Things are going well. Every day I want to know, how's your job going? How's it going, babe? Good. Blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm her biggest cheerleader. We have to do it, because somebody at the job will be like, you look good today, Miss Kim. You smell good today. What that you got on? Ooh, that's nice. Ooh, look at that lipstick. Oh, my God. Man, I better be saying that before she leave home.
Right.
And when she at work, and when she get home. You know? So we got to learn how to build up one another, because you're going to get that's those true. Kind of comments, people saying stuff, shooting their best shot. You know, people don't care about marriage nowadays. That's not a border for them. A ring is not a border for them. A ring don't make them stop now.
It does not. Yes. Sometimes it encourages them to keep going.
Oh, my God. It's horrible. I mean, it really is. The grayer I get and the fatter I get, be like, girl, go on now. You don't be my daughter. Go on, get out of here. Go
right. If
nothing.
You don't, go on.
It's nothing but trouble. You know what I mean? You got to live a double life. You got to hide your phone. You got to make sure you don't smell like this. It's too much work.
Yes.
You live a double life, you're going to be double tired. You're gonna die young.
Especially when you get older, you really gonna be double tired. But the thing of it is that it is, and I think we'll probably bring it to a close here when we talk about this, is that when we don't do right by our mate, and we realize or we recognize the hurt and the pain that we see in their eyes, and we know that their heart has been broken, and we know that we now are on a path to trying to repair that. You know, hindsight is 20/20. We can see so clear. You know, it's like, why did I do that? You know how many times I've asked myself, why did I say that? Why did I do that? Or why didn't I do that? You know, it's those questions that we have to stop and we're asking ourselves when we can just make the right decision in the very beginning. And here's the other thing. If we don't know how to make the right decisions, then we need to put ourselves in the company of people that can help us. We need to have mentors and people who can counsel us and teach us the right things to do.
I want to say this publicly. Thank you for really catching what you say now. And you really have tried.
I do.
Years ago, you would just say it was out there. It didn't matter where it hit.
And I didn't even care.
Be like ricocheting and hitting off the wall, like, whoa, wait a minute, too much, you know. But now you'll stop and say, you know, boo, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say it like that. I really didn't. It just came out like that. Please forgive me. I've been like, wow, that really mellows things out for me. It really does. I'm not, like I said, her family was very outspoken. My family was kind of like, you know, we tried to like not hurt each other's feelings. Her family, they did blah, 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 blah. Her dad was like, he would say stuff like, you put your brain in a bird to fly back. And we would say to people like, hey, Pop, that's kind of hard, you know. But we came from different, and that's another thing too, culture. And culture doesn't have to be Black, you know, Asian, you different cultures. We had different cultures. We both African American, but we had different cultures.
Right.
Different cultures. My mom was a stay-home mom. So she made a bed, she cooked dinner, she did all that. Her mom was a professional, an engineer, a phone company. She start breakfast and walk in the door, okay, y'all finished breakfast. I'm like, what? Our breakfast was finished. Our breakfast was done. I had 3 square meals a day. I'm taking a sack lunch with me, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I came to a household, won her, and she wasn't trying to do Helen. You know, she was used to Susie making it happen, doing the way they did it. I'm talking about the towel thing. You know, we my mother washed clothes every day, so we changed towels every day. My wife was like, you can use that towel another day. Like, no, I can't. That's nasty. Ooh, y'all nasty. You know, right.
But that goes to the culture.
Right.
We didn't realize that we were insulting each other's culture, the cultures that we came from, you know.
And now we talk about, she had to take the towel from your dad's like, baby, you took my towel?
Like a week or two. Thank you very much.
All that. So now she like the statue from me, you know, because I've changed. Like, okay, yeah, I can use towel more than one day. I can dry off the same towel more than one day. But I was just coming from culture. We changed the towel every day. But that it's just little things like that that'll tear a marriage up. It's like the last, y'all broke up over that? No, it was the little things that built up to that straw on the camel's back. It's those little things that.
It gets heavy. Those little things, when they add up, they get heavy.
Toilet paper down, all that little stuff, little nick. I get my nerves. Why you put the toilet paper on like that? Oh my God, don't do that. After a while, little fox is full of vine. Little fox, the Bible says.
When you get older, you learn how to choose your battles. Sometimes, some people are still a work in progress. But one of the things that we have to do is learn how to choose our battles. And so I want to end here by saying thank you very much for coming on and being very transparent and being very open, because we know this is the only way that we're going to help people.
I need a part two.
We can do part two, but we cannot help people if we are not honest. If we're not honest, we gotta be honest. Aww. Those two people right there. Thank you, Kwame. I forgot about those pictures. Those two people right there are not the same two people that y'all see here today.
That's me now, look like Uncle Ben converted rice.
Right here.
Look like Uncle Ben converted rice. Had a Jericho in the other picture.
So I thank God for you. I'm so happy. I'm happy we're still together. I'm happy we're still building. I'm happy that we're going to be together when all these great grandchildren come and son-in-laws and daughter-in-laws and all that kind of stuff. I'm excited. I'm excited about your life.
40th anniversary around the corner, you know, it was 85 and it's going to be 25 soon, you know, 2025, 40th anniversary. You know, I want to do a destination. I want to go somewhere, Bali or one of them islands or something. But
we're going to do something.
We're going to do something, you know. So don't forget, y'all, we have something called 2B1. We talk to couples. We got something called Leading as One for those in authority, you know, positions where you really want to keep it kind of under wraps or whatever. So we do 2B1. We do, we're going to be doing a retreat. We haven't done one in a while because of a pandemic. We do retreats where you go away for 3 or 4 days. You go on a Thursday night, stay there all day Friday. Saturday, you get to go home after Saturday. We stay there. We kind of lock in. It's a rough ride at first, but if you hang in there, we're going to get through it. Couples always threaten to leave the first day. We're ready to go. But after they stay, they go through it. you know, or do whatever's best for you. Sometimes it's not staying together. Sometimes, hey, you know, but most we've been able to help stay together. So we love y'all. Bless a little commercial for what we do. 2B1, leading as one, whatever you need, holler at the bishop and Pastor Kim.
So thank you all for joining my show tonight. I appreciate you taking the time out to spend time with me in this space. And I appreciate my husband for being here tonight. So you know what? If you like what you see, go ahead and like, share, you know, subscribe to our channel. And I tell you what, we'll always have something that deals with relationships, okay? And that's what it's all about.
If you share another couple, even after tonight, you know, another couple kind of struggling, send it to them.
Share it with them. Thank you for joining us tonight. We love you. God bless you. Take care.
This episode is brought to you by Pyro Media Network, produced by Pyro Media Productions, setting brands ablaze since 2017. Thank you for listening.